At Link Humans, we've spoken to countless HR leaders from around the world, all trying to measure employer brand. The Employer Brand Index is used by GE and Unilever on a quarterly basis to uncover and measure their reputation as an employer, with a final score they can track over time to see how things are changing. We look at what candidates, employees, and alumni say about your organization in an employment context. If you're looking to research your employer reputation, or if you're developing an EVP, this would be the perfect time to create your Employer Brand Index baseline. You'll get a full report of insights and recommendations that you can use to improve your employer brand over time. Head over to employerbrandindex.co and start measuring.
Hey, sans Mason, it's Jorgen Sundberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast, brought to you by friends at Link Humans. We are, of course, data-driven employer brand insights specialists. Now, are you curious about life? In that case, this one's for you. Today, we're speaking to a multinational science and technology company headquartered out of Germany. We're going to learn how employer brand is run globally. We're going to learn about the complexities that this organization is faced with on many different levels, the types of talent that they are competing for, and how they have a network made up of ambassadors from the world of recruitment to help enable the employer brand. So let's start the show. Hey, Chris, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
So who are you and what do you do?
So I'm Chris Dinwiddie. I'm the head of employer branding at Merck Group. Typically, people come into employer branding either from the marketing side or from the recruiting side. I'm very much a career recruiter. So I've spent about, I think, it's like my 20th year in recruiting, and I've worked across, you know, most of the sectors like RPO and search. And I think this is my fourth sort of major multinational company that I've worked for. And I've also lived and worked across a couple of continents as well. So very much a recruiter who's passionate about marketing and branding, who is in an employer branding role.
Good stuff. Okay. So Merck Group, we were just discussing this before on the show, that I was actually a client of mine when I was a recruiter in an early life. But please tell the listeners what Merck Group is all about.
We are a vibrant science and technology company that effectively dedicates itself to human progress. So we're one of those companies where we're not a consumer brand. So if you stop someone in the street who's not in any of our industries, they won't necessarily turn around and go, oh yeah, I know Merck Group. However, our products and our technology impact on people's lives pretty consistently. So we've got three businesses. We've got a healthcare business, which is essentially your pharmaceutical business. We have a life science business, which is really about empowering the scientific community with kind of tools, services, and solutions. And then we have a third business that we call Performance Materials. And this is a business that focuses very heavily on the electronics market. So a big focus around semiconductor materials. We're one of the oldest companies, certainly within our sector. So we're 352 years old. We're headquartered in Darmstadt, just south of Frankfurt, as you know, from your previous work with us. And globally, our headcount's about 57,000 employees currently.
Fantastic. Okay, right. And for this business, what is the talent challenge that you are faced with?
Again, I think like a lot of sort of these employer branding type scenarios, it's actually quite complex because each of the businesses probably has a slightly different brand and has a slightly different talent requirement. The consistency is that we're hiring people from a scientific background. So that's generally one of the big challenges we have, is how to get great science talent, scientific talent. If you talk to our pharma business or our healthcare business, their big challenges are actually around medical. So they're looking a lot for medical folks to come over from doctoring or working in the medical industry to come and work for us. And then probably the other area that we really sort of battle a little bit with in terms of talent is digital. Digitalization, if you think about the certainly the technology side of what we do and how we leverage things like big data and how we do our analytics, having great digital skills is just becoming more and more important for us. And that's a really sort of tough space to be hiring talent in at the moment.
And do you, you mentioned you are a B2B business. Do you have any issues with awareness with candidates?
Yeah, it depends a little bit, Jorgen, in terms of the sector. So if you think about the healthcare business, there's what 20 plus minus 20 bigger pharma companies out there that someone's going to, you know, probably, you know, think of when it comes to their career. So there's definitely a challenge to say, hey, you know, we're not the biggest, but hey, we're a great place to work. And you can get much closer to decisions and strategy and, you know, R&D and so on. So we definitely got to sell, but we may not always be sort of first in mind. Life science, slightly different. You know, we're certainly positioned, you know, alongside one or two other companies as the big life science organization. So if you're within that sector, you're probably going to know us. And then the final one, you know, around what we call our performance materials business, we're pretty new players in semiconductors. You know, we bought a business about 18 months ago, a big semiconductor business. So we're not a particularly well-known brand. So the brand awareness can definitely be a challenge depending on where you are in terms of company, but also in terms of geography. You know, we do have we have a trademark agreement. There are two companies that are called Merck in the world. You know, we are Merck Group. We are the German science and technology company, but also in the US, there's Merck and Co., which is a big pharmaceutical organization based in the US. So there's definitely challenges around the brand and the brand awareness.
Yeah, which I'm sure adds extra spice to your job, no doubt.
Oh, it's definitely the toughest part of the job. You haven't got a single global brand. You've got a rest of world brand, and then you've got some North America and Canada where you've got three individual brands. So that is the most complex part of my job for sure.
Right. So let's talk about the employer brand strategy and perhaps start with how did employer brand come about at Merck Group?
A little bit before my time. So in fact, for just about a year now, I think if we go back in history about 5 years ago, I think there was a little bit of a sense that Merck Group was well known as perhaps maybe a slightly more traditional kind of, you know, German business focus, perhaps more around chemicals, pharma. And I think, you know, the branding probably reflected that a little bit. So my understanding is that they created a brand new company brand back, I think, in 2014 into 2015, and the employer branding linked directly to that. So really my role and what was created back then was to present Merck Group as a vibrant, bold and curious company, particularly with our target talent audiences who may not consider us, may not know us, or may have preconceptions, you know, about us. Because that was the other thing, you know, from a reputation perspective, did people really understand how much innovation and certainly how much science and technology we were doing? So that's our focus. And we focus predominantly on awareness building and attraction building.
And how's the team structured and who do you report into?
So I report into the head of TA, so we have a head of talent acquisition. We have more of a regional structure. So each of the regions has TA teams. And then we have this sort of centralized teams where you have myself with employer branding. We have a head of sourcing. We have a head of graduate recruitment. We have a head of, you know, kind of recruitment technology and processes. So this is a sort of core corporate centralized team that supports all of the regions and all of the markets. So I report into the head of TA. And then I have one other permanent resource and I have two contractors working for me at the moment. But we'll see how we go through the rest of the year.
I was thinking about your global complexity. Do you have people in market supporting you, or is the work done centrally?
A bit of both. I think before I came into the role, it was definitely felt probably more like a central corporate kind of team pushing out to the regions. I spent a lot of time last year kind of building my ambassadors network within the recruitment group. So, for example, in each of our six HR regions, I've got a recruiter who I can go to that represents that region with employer branding, and we have regular calls and touch points. So whilst it's not a formalized reporting line, I have my network of people that I connect with out in the regions. Because, again, it's a great question, because what happens in China is absolutely not what's going to be happening in the US. And you know, even to the point where we've developed some specific messaging, specific assets, you know, and specific marketing collateral purely for China. And it's slightly different to what we use in the rest of the world. So it's really helped us in terms of globalizing.
Right. So let's talk EVP. Have you got one established? And if so, what is it?
Bring your curiosity to life. So, which I think for me has two meanings, and I talk about this quite a lot, and I have two meanings. So on the first, it's for you kind of personally to say, well, if I come to work at Merck Group, I'm going to have the opportunity to be curious. But it's also got a second meaning. which is also equally as strong, which is you can bring your curiosity to life, as in humanity. And if you look at all of the businesses that we have and the way that we focus on advancing humanity, you do genuinely have a chance to influence that as well. So there's two meanings to it, but we pull it together as to bring your curiosity to life.
Is that underpinned by any pillars or themes?
Yes, yeah, so we've got four key pillars that come under that. So we talk about how we work together, which is, you know, experiencing the joy of curiosity. So again, it's that sense that we are a positive business. You will enjoy working here and we're curious. We talk about how we advance our business, and we do that through fostering fruitful partnerships. That's the second pillar, foster fruitful partnerships. And again, that talks about the collaboration within the organization. The third one is how you develop with us. So we say you can fulfill your personal ambitions, which again, I don't think it needs too much explanation. And then the final one, which is who we are at the core of our organization, which is around advancing technologies for life. So again, it's back to the fact, you know, we're not a pharma business. We're not a chemical business. We are a science and technology business focused on human progress.
Great. And out of those four pillars, do you find that any one of those or combination of those seem to resonate more with certain personas or functions?
Yeah. Again, I think it depends on the individuals that you're talking to. You know, I think if you're hiring maybe more for our performance materials business, you know, advancing technologies for life. I mean, you know, that part of the organization is doing all sorts of amazing things around, you know, technology. I think, you know, the partnership one, you know, if you're someone who loves collaboration and likes genuinely working in partnership, I think I posted something on LinkedIn the other day that said, you know, the bus is something you get to work, not something you get thrown under when you get here. And that's very much about the culture of the organization that's around partnership. That works with people. I think the overall theme of curiosity is a very, very strong one. You know, so it's this idea that you are encouraged, no matter whether you're an employer branding, whether you're a scientist in R&D, or whether you are a medical sales rep, the idea is that you can be curious and you're encouraged to be curious. So understand what's happening in the world and present innovative solutions. And again, I think it's a very realistic reflection of the organization.
Right. So let's talk about activation. So how you bring this EVP and the employer brand out to, well, both internally and externally. What does it look like?
I think it's a combination. So for me, part of this is obviously the technology that we use.
Yeah.
Part of it is then obviously the channels that we use. And then part of it is around behaviors as well. So if I sort of break those down, you know, from a technology perspective, we use a lot of RMK pages, so what we call marketing pages. So we use SAP SuccessFactors. They have what's called a career site builder within that. So that enables us to effectively create landing pages, which for, you know, specific campaigns or specific role types that we can then direct people to. What we found has been really useful, and we've evolved a lot in the last 12 months, is a video app that we use. So we partner with, I would say, a fairly small company in Berlin that has a video app. And they're brilliant because we've got such a close partnership with them. We can literally phone them up and say, hey, guys, can we change this bit and do this? Yeah, sure. And then you've got it done. So we use a video app, which any employee can download. And we've got various templates in there. And that's really helped us. We're looking at other technologies that we're going to roll out in the next 18 months. So we're going to invest in a platform called PathMotion this year, which I think will be really helpful in terms of how we tell our stories and how we can connect people directly with our employees. And then alongside that, you know, it's all of the sort of organic and paid work. So we partner with a employer branding agency, and, you know, whenever we're running, you know, campaigns for specific target groups or specific businesses, we work very closely with our agency, who then develops various strategies around, you know, programmatic, around being advertising as well. The final part of it, which for me is around the behavioral side, is to bridge the gap between, hey, we're an employer branding team, and hey, we're recruiters, was really to focus heavily on partnership with recruiters and our sources, because ultimately they're the ones who are most representing the brand day to day. So spend a lot of time with the recruiters, making sure that they understand employer branding and they understand how they can market themselves and the organization on a day-to-day level as well. And I think the result of that has been a lot more kind of social media usage, particularly with LinkedIn. I think some of the other platforms we haven't really done much with, but certainly from a LinkedIn perspective, we use that pretty extensively.
Nice. Yeah. So you mentioned this ambassador network amongst the recruiters.
Yeah.
How did that come about? And is it informal, or do you do quarterly updates, or do you have some sort of Slack channels for these guys? Or how does it work?
It's a bit both, to be honest. So I used to be the head of the EMEA recruiting team before this role. Yep. So I know all the recruiters pretty well. And, you know, I've been on the sort of global recruiting leadership team for a number of years now. So I know all of the guys. So it was more a case of going to the regional heads of recruitment and saying, look, you know, we want to do more with employer branding. We also want to get much closer to your region. And again, that resonates, I think, with people. If you're sitting in a remote region and you're a long way from HQ, you want someone who's going to do things for your region, not necessarily tell you what you have to do in your region. So so I managed to, through those activities, managed to kind of get those recruiters together. To be honest, it's more of a sort of one-to-one basis at the moment. So, you know, I have a regular call with China, I have a regular call with the US, a regular call with Germany. And then for the slightly smaller regions, it's probably a little bit more ad hoc. So it's not this sort of formalized council, but it's more about going to each of those regions, saying what's happening in your geography specifically, and how do we plug into that.
Right. Okay. Now, for the $1 million question, how do you go about measuring the return on investment on the employer brand efforts?
I tell you what, it's so much easier when you're a recruiter measuring.
Yes.
Right. Because as a recruiter, you're like, right, there's a start point and there's an end point, and I know that I've been successful. It's much tougher in a sort of marketing setting. So generally, when we're working on a campaign basis and we have our kind of landing pages set up, it's kind of a combination. So we look at our Google Analytics, and we also look at what SAP provides as well. It's not the easiest thing to track, but generally we're looking at things like, you know, visits, applications, views. If we can, we get as far as higher. But again, I don't think the end-to-end data really sort of helps us there. So that's one area. We've got the stats, we've got various dashboards that we can use and we can pull, and we've automated to a degree. The second part of it, I would say, and I think this can be overlooked sometimes, is that qualitative feedback you get from people. So you get that we've seen your brand, or I didn't know much about you and I therefore applied. And I think if we went to pretty much every recruiter in the company, they probably have a story like that. And that's another way, I know it's not scientific, but it's another way you can sort of track how your brand is. You know, are people seeing it and talking about it? And then probably the final one, you know, again, is around cost, right? So if we can, and it's not always possible, if we can track through and prove things like, for example, we spent X amount and therefore we avoided agency hires, that works very, very well for the organization. But generally, we're looking more at the awareness data through to who's applied.
No, it's interesting what you mentioned there about the qualitative feedback and stories from recruiters. I think even though it may not be so scientific, it does have an impact, I think, when reporting it back. It's almost like focus group, so choice quotes.
Yeah, and it's very visible. You know, if you think about how visible LinkedIn is these days, people see it. And I think also what we found, certainly I would say in the last year or so, is that people really were noticing internally. So what we found is that the work we do on LinkedIn is as visible externally as it is internally. And that's an important one to consider as well when we talk about employer branding is, you know, we don't want to overlook that internal population, but we have found that they are actually engaged via external channels, even though they're employees.
Double bubble then. Right. So what would be your top tips to employer brand professionals listening to this right now?
Depends how many you want. There's so many of them.
Number three.
So I'll give you three. So the first one is probably, I would say, be authentic. Be as honest as possible. I think, you know, the recruitment industry's drifted a lot in the last few years away from corporate, you know, really polished, this is how we want to present ourselves, probably into a more honest one. I'll never forget the best example I ever saw of this was, I wouldn't say the company, but it was a well-known oil and gas company. And I saw this amazing, polished corporate video that was all about renewables and graduates joining the oil and gas company to work on renewables and change the world. And I was like, oh, I've worked in oil and gas. That's a tiny part of their organization. It's not particularly authentic. You know, it looks great. And I'm sure everyone gave you lots of high fives internally, but it's not very authentic. So be authentic. Second one is be human. So again, this corporate culture is shifting. You know, it's a lot more about storytelling. It's a lot more about employees explaining how they work and what the culture is and what they love about their organization. So for me, that's a really big one. Be as human as possible. And I think the final one is about bridging the gap between employer branding and recruitment marketing. So employer branding can be a little bit corporate and a little bit one size fits all. And you really want to be looking to get in the trenches with your recruiters, go and find out what they want to do, what they're working on, because actually sometimes all they want is really simple solutions.
Amen to that. Chris, what is it that makes your job so special?
My job's really special because I work for a brilliant company. I'm not saying that because they pay my salary, but generally, I work for a great company that is, I would say, very human focused, very patient centric, very end user focused. So it's got a great culture. And I think the second part from a job content perspective, I've got a lot of room to do a lot of things in this job, and most of that is creative. And I think when you come from the recruiting side, it's really refreshing to be creative, right? So you've got so many ideas, you could never do them, whereas in this role, I can actually go and do them.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of listeners to this podcast, I know, are sort of in a recruitment function or double hatting and want to move more into employer branding. Right. So finally, where can our listeners connect with yourself, and where can they learn more about Merck Group as well?
So if you want to connect with me, probably the best one is LinkedIn. So Chris Dinwiddie, at Merck Group, effectively, if you search me, I'll certainly come up on LinkedIn. For the company, I mean, there's obviously the traditional website, the www.merckgroup.com, or if you're in the US listening to this, www.emdgroup.com, or just check out, any of the channels. We have Instagram account, we have LinkedIn group pages as well, so have a look on LinkedIn, but those are probably the best channels to look at.
Fantastic. All right. Thank you so much for your time today, Chris.
Yeah, no problem. Absolute joy. Thank you, Jorgen.
Okay, there we go, folks. Be sure to reach out to Chris on LinkedIn and other places and thank him ever so much for sharing his insights. And also, you may want to consider subscribing to this podcast. You can do so at employerbrandingpodcast.com. There's a no-nonsense URL for you, employerbrandingpodcast.com. And you can also do it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and all the other usual places. And if you really enjoyed this show and perhaps the podcast in general, please help us out by leaving a review on one of those platforms. Now, got three questions for you. What's your organization's reputation as an employer? What are your strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats in terms of employer brand? How can we measure all these? That was three. These are great questions for which I have only one answer, the Link Humans Index. Yep, we help clients in the pharma and life sciences sector, such as Amgen, Thermo Fisher, GE Healthcare, GlaxoSmithKline, to do exactly this. On a regular basis, we work with them to report on their employer brand health and to align their strategies. So whether that's about EVP activation, could be about internal processes, could be candidate experience. This is a partnership where we work together to improve the world of work and, by default, the employer brands of our clients' companies. Learn more about our employer brand index at linkhumans.com, or feel free to just give me a shout. That was it. Look forward to catching up next week and take care. Hey!
I have a whole bunch of dead batteries. Does anyone want them? They're free of charge.
It's pretty funny too.